Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I am ready to rock and roll. But I am not alone. I am joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa, is in studio and in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated. You walk too close, you might get a Barbasol. Because every 72 hours, this brother's got to be in the barber's chair, I'm telling you. But we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. So much is happening. My goodness. If anybody thought President Trump was playing, you're going to learn today. Promises made, promises kept already. It's amazing what's happening. But it's vitally important that we remember that what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. I have to tell you, a lot of the things that I'm seeing coming out of the White House, I am grateful for. I am saying, Lord, thanks be to your name that you have blessed us, because this man is the one you used to allow me to say, she who shall never be president. Hey, hey! And for that, I give you thanks. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it is because of your divine providence that I can also say that there's a remix, She Who Shall Never Be President, Part 2. If you want to be French, you can say duh. But I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. So I'm going to tell the truth. It's important. It is imperative. It is indispensable that we understand income generation is a part-time gig. Right now, most of you are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate revenue. Guys, that is not your full-time jobs. Your full-time jobs is outcome cultivation. Our full-time jobs is outcome cultivation. Much of what has transpired in our nation can rightly be correlated to some of the things that have not taken place. A combination of affirmative activity as well as negligence and misunderstanding concerning what has transpired in our homes. It is the truth. Let's turn to the word of God. And I believe God's word will help me make this point even more saliently. We're going to begin the program in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Between two of the rousing chapters, chapters 1 and 3, where you have the 10-day table of testing, and then you have the Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, fiery furnace, all of that. Don't forget about chapter 2. What happened in chapter 2? If you recall, the scripture begins in chapter 2, verse 1, in fact. Now, we're going to focus on verses 12 through 23. But chapter 2, verse 1 begins with Nebuchadnezzar having a dream in the second year of his reign. But you could tell, the scripture says it plainly, he had had it with his quote-unquote wise men. See, I'm tired of them trying to hustle me, basically. Now, that's the Abe Standard Version. I'm translating. And the dream was bothering Nebuchadnezzar. He so much he was losing sleep, it was troubling him. He said, but the wise men in my kingdom, you have to tell me what it was that I dreamed and give me the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar's wise men try to pull a fast one on him. He's like, come on, Neb. Oh, Neb, come on, Neb. Your mama call you Neb, I'm going to call you Neb. Nobody can tell you what you dreamed. How about you just tell us what the dream is, and then we'll interpret it for you. Nebuchadnezzar's like, not gonna do it. You had the Shannon Sharp me, not gonna do it. There you go. Not gonna do. You got to tell me what I dreamed and give me an interpretation. The wise men were like, What are you talking about? We can't do that. Nebuchadnezzar got hot. Fine. Then what's the point of having wise men if y'all ain't wise? I'm killing everybody. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said. This is in the Bible. I'm killing everybody. And then Nebuchadnezzar's servant, Arioch, A-R-I-O-C-H, came and found Daniel and his friends. That is Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, because remember, following the 10-day table of testing, Daniel and his friends were also a part of Nebuchadnezzar's wise men. And that is where we pick up at verse 12. I'm going to read through the passages and make some read through the passage, the scriptures, and make some observations from there. And this is what the scripture says, verse 12. Because of this, this is Daniel chapter 2, verse 12. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion. Some translations there says a discretion and discernment or counsel and wisdom. But he replies with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, now this is what's recorded next is a part of Daniel's cry of worship to God after God revealed to him what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was and what it meant. This is how Daniel responds to the Lord. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Now, I want to get to the substance of Daniel's prayer of thanksgiving to God after this revelation. But I want to remind you of the context. It's easy to kind of read this, you know, black letters on a white page. But envision Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Daniel didn't know what was going on. All he knows is Arioch comes a knocking at the door, and the king's henchmen are at his door. And they ain't showing up with Girl Scout cookies. They're showing up with weapons of war to murder him and his friends. Daniel has no clue what's going on. He's immediately confronted with the fact that, oh, snap, they're here to kill us. Daniel alone, the scripture says, responds with wisdom, discernment, and discretion. It says, Arioch, why is this so urgent? What's going on? So Arioch told him, listen, this is what's going on. The king is sick and tired of the wise men playing games with him. So if the wise men ain't worth nothing, why have them around? Of course, I'm not endorsing murder. I'm telling you what Arioch told Daniel. Daniel appeals to the king. Give me some time. Give me some time. And I'll tell you what your dream is and the interpretation. And the scripture records, what does he do? He immediately goes to his friends. He doesn't take out a full-page ad in the newspaper. He doesn't set out a polling group. He gets his boys, and they get on their faces and cry out to God in prayer. Why? Similar to what I said to you yesterday. The urgency of the moment was evident in their response. They cried out to God in prayer. Notice at the very end of Daniel's expression of thanksgiving to God, he says, God, you have made known to me what we asked of you. Daniel wasn't in there by himself and asking God for the revelation as to what was happening. You made known to me what we asked of you. And then what we have recorded is Daniel's expression of thanksgiving to God. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. To whom belong wisdom and might? To whom belong wisdom? He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. I'd encourage you to go and read the remainder of the chapter. You'll see what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. You want to talk about a soldier. You want to talk about a man of courage. But Daniel recognized, though Nebuchadnezzar is king, Nebuchadnezzar is not over me, except by God's allowance. Because here he is in a personal crisis. He don't even know what's going on in his own mind with his own dreams, but God will show it to me. In that moment, Daniel was confronted with the fact that, oh, you are only over me because God has allowed you to be over me. But I serve the one who is over you. To which he says this in verse 21, he, the one who's over you, changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. Now, in light of all of that that I just explained and just described, now let's think about where we are currently. I am among the ranks of those who are glorifying God for what is happening, that in a moment, things have changed in our national government. But I want to remind you, look at verse 21. He removes kings and sets up kings. Before many of us get too consumed in what's happening now, I want you to think for a few moments. Wait a minute. Now, President Trump is the 45th and the 47th president of the United States. Could there have been a Joseph Robinette Biden as the 46th president of the United States outside of the ambit of God's sovereignty? I've told you before my position. I know they cheated. I say that with my whole chest. I never said anything opposite that. But as I also said, there's no amount of cheating that will be able to overthrow the will of God. So my question is, to what end? What may God have been attempting to draw the attention of his people and our nation to by allowing Mr. Robinette to enter the Oval Office? And brothers and sisters, I believe if you would honestly, prayerfully ponder that question, it would give you the appropriate urgency to approach the moment that we're in now. I've said then and I'll say now, could it be that God recognized that the believers in our nation had succumbed to a comfortable political idolatry to where our hopes ebbed and flowed based on who's in the Oval Office? Could it be that the Lord recognized that it was far more prevalent for people to show up for a Trump rally than for believers to man prayer meetings in their own homes? Could it be that the Lord allowed it to drive his people back to our faces and to our knees? And if that is in fact the case, what do you think God requires of us now? Daniel said he removes kings and sets them up. I have been pleading with you and appealing to you to have an appropriate approach to this time of reprieve. Now is not the time to grandstand, to spend all of our time stretching our suspenders and happy dancing. Now is the time. God has given us a window. God has given us a window. What are we going to do with it? See, there are still nefarious forces at work in our nation, and we must be a people that understand we don't exist to serve government. Government exists to serve us, but we will not have a government that is embracing of and conducive to righteousness if we have an increasingly wicked people. There's a role that government has to play in our nation, but the government's role is not making disciples. That's the role of the Lord's children. And it's high time that we have an urgency about us, because the time is urgent. Because my concern is, if we don't respond appropriately, that something far worse could happen after the Trump years have come to an end.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
How tragic it is when people who say they love Jesus will see the need, see the problems, for whatever reason, pass by on the other side. Sometimes people may think, well, it's not my problem, and I don't want to be a victim like he was. Well, that's a wrong perspective. Some may think, well, I'm busy, I've got other things to do. Well, it's easy to say everybody's busy. Everybody has something to do. But by the grace of God, we see where God commended the Samaritan. He too had something to do, but he took time. He made time to stop and help with compassion someone who'd been beat up and left for dead on the side of the road by the world. You and I need to make time to live a life of compassion. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. How important it is that we're faithful to do that. This is what we're made for.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Well, 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 welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. That didn't take long. Just as I expected and articulated that I expected, a federal district court judge has already ruled that President Trump's executive order ending quote-unquote birthright citizenship is unconstitutional. Now, I say quote-unquote birthright citizenship because in one way, there is, let me say it this way, the appropriate understanding of the Founders' Constitution recognizes birthright citizenship. It just doesn't recognize the notion of illegal aliens who can breach our border, but if they happen to be pregnant, then their child is automatically an American citizen. As I've explained, the 14th Amendment has two components of it that requires it. You are born or naturalized U.S. citizen and subject to the jurisdiction of our nation. It requires both components. You can't just show up breaching our laws, because the very nature of being an illegal alien is emblematic of you not being subject to the jurisdiction of our nation, the national jurisdiction. Our law still governs because you're in our land, but you personally are not subject to the jurisdiction of our land. And as I've explained, that this is a Reconstruction Era amendment. This is an amendment to the United States Constitution that exists to repudiate the abominable Dred Scott decision. It is explicitly made to recognize that the children of African slaves and their descendants are citizens of the United States. That is, African slaves who have been brought to the United States of America, and they were trapped in chattel slavery, and their children, that they are citizens. That's what the amendment exists for. Nothing beyond that. And as I've explained before, we understand this. This is why the children of foreign ambassadors in our land, I used the example on the air yesterday or earlier this week, that if you have, for example, an ambassador to the United States from Germany, all right, that there's the German embassy that is in Washington, D.C., all right, and the ambassador is married to another German citizen, and they are here on foreign assignment, their children are not deemed citizens of the United States of America. This is why, and this is something that's happened repeatedly, when you have the children of foreign dignitaries and they, for example, get a DUI or something, they're not prosecuted in American courts. They're deported. Why? Because those children are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States of America. This is not a complicated matter unless you want to make it complicated for nefarious purposes. And so, as I said to you, that the Trump administration is not surprised that there is going to be litigation surrounding this. In fact, I know that they wanted it. So, sure enough, because if they were prudent, I would say that regressives should probably wait until the Trump administration is over before they try to file any kind of litigation. But no, they can't help themselves. So, it's not surprising that it's happened. And I do expect this to make its way through the courts, and you're going to see the entire history of the amendment brought to the fore, and you'll see this navigated. So I look forward to seeing this play out over the next, it'll probably take some time to get to the U.S. Supreme Court. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Today, about maybe an hour or two before coming on the air, maybe 2 hours before coming on the air, about 2.5 hours, President Trump did something that is profound. President Trump has pardoned the 23 pro-life servants who opposed what God opposes and were persecuted by the Biden administration under the FACE Act. You know, the same administration with its Department of Justice that couldn't spend its time, I don't know, providing the legal framework for the enforcement of federal immigration law. The Department of Justice that couldn't find itself to, you know, root out these, I would say, traitors to our nation, like the 51 intelligence agency officials who lied about the Hunter Biden laptop. Couldn't be bothered with any of that kind of stuff, but they spent their time prosecuting grandmoms and others who had the audacity to say, you know what, if you're killing babies in this facility, y'all are wrong for doing so. It includes 89-year-old Eva Edel and pro-lifers who came to abortion facilities and who literally were singing. Yet the Biden administration not only prosecuted them, but persecuted them by seeking jail sentences for them. Well, people like Bevelyn Beatty Williams, as she's married now, Joanne Bell, Coleman Boyd, Joel Curry, Jonathan Darnell, as I mentioned, Eva Edel, Chester Gallagher, Rosemary Herb Garrity, William Goodman, Dennis Green, Lauren Handy, Paulette Harlow, John Henshaw, Heather Ideny. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that last name. Gene Marshall, Fidelis Musinski, I believe he's a priest, Justin Phillips, Paul Place, Calvin Eva, and James Zastro. They have all been pardoned. Miss Edel had been convicted, but she was awaiting sentencing. She ain't waiting on sentencing now anymore because President Trump has hit the ground running. Listen to and watch clip number one. This is President Trump in the Oval Office earlier this afternoon signing his presidential pardon for these pro-life heroes. Clip number one. Go.
Next, we have a set of pardons for peaceful pro-life protesters who were prosecuted by the Biden administration for exercising their First Amendment rights.
Do you know how many?
I believe it's 23, sir.
23 people were prosecuted. They should not have been prosecuted. Many of them are elderly people. They should not have been prosecuted. This is a great honor to sign this. They'll be very happy. So they're all in prison now.
Some are out of custody.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I love that. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. This is amazing. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you. The FACE Act was the, I would argue, unconstitutional measure that was used. Well, let me say it differently. It's an unjust law. I'll say it that way. It was created primarily for this exact purpose, to serve as a federal mechanism to persecute people who believe in the sanctity of human life. That's literally what it means. It criminalizes those who would, in their view, oppose entry into this clinic. You know, what kind of clinics are people trying to oppose entry to? You got people standing in front of hospital emergency rooms. You shall not enter the ER. No, you know what it is. And the Biden administration made it a priority to use federal resources to single out these people and to persecute them. My friend and colleague Steve Crampton represented many of these people in trials all over the country with judges and juries who were biased against them because of their political objection to the pro-life political position. It was used as an intimidation mechanism to try to keep pro-lifers away from doing things like sidewalk counseling. This is something I have done. My wife worked for years as in a crisis pregnancy resource center. I have been at these places praying and appealing to and attempting to reason with sometimes these abortion-minded moms and the dads or family members if they're with them. But that congressional statute existed to try to keep us from doing that kind of stuff. But these people said, I don't care. I'm convicted by the Lord to stand. And they faced literal incarceration for this. Not anymore. Not anymore. Now, this was a step that was vitally necessary, but there's more that must be done. I call on Congress to repeal the FACE Act. And to that end, Senator Mike Lee has refiled a bill he's filed in the past to repeal the FACE Act in the U.S. Senate, and Congressman Chip Roy in the House of Representatives has filed a companion bill to repeal the FACE Act. This is tremendous, not even to mention that the March for Life is going to take place tomorrow. And President Trump is scheduled to appear at the March for Life via video, and Vice President J.D. Vance is going to appear in person and speak at the March for Life. This is going to be a celebration and a vindication that these people did what is right and President Trump is doing what is right. There is still much, much more to be done, because the ultimate thing that has to transpire is that there must be an appeal to the hearts and minds of the people. I'm heartened by people like Lila Rose and her live action organization that are producing videos that are helping people learn more about this. For so long, many in our country succumbed to the lie that there wasn't a child in their womb, that it was just a clump of cells. And then you have the wonder of technology that allows them to see ultrasounds that our friends at Preborn are helping to do. And it's working. Well, you have larger contingents of young people that are becoming more and more pro-life because they recognize, wait a minute, that's a child. That's a child. But I want to remind you that the reason why that there is an abortion crisis in our country is because of sexual immorality. And so, yes, rejoice. Celebrate this. This is evidence of God's grace. And let's continue working. Continue working. I've said before, every believer is called to ministry. Having an appropriate estimation for life, understanding the sanctity of human life, understanding innocent human life. And I know people have asked me, "Oi, babe, how can you be pro-life and also support the death penalty? Don't you believe what the scripture says?" Yes, the sixth commandment says, "Thou shalt not murder." It doesn't say thou shalt not kill. Well, what's the difference? The Hebrew word for murder literally means the taking of innocent human life. The same God who in his holy word says you shall not murder is the same one in Romans chapter 12, for example. He prohibits vigilantism, where you go and secure a temporal means of justice yourself. No, no, no. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, I shall repay. But then the same God says in Romans chapter 13 that government is his minister, and that government does not bear the sword in vain. Well, what do you think the sword was being used for in first century Rome? You think the sword was being used to floss teeth? You think the sword was being used for? No. And it's not something that should be used haphazardly. It should be the product of thorough deliberation. But someone who is a murderer who receives the just penalty for their sin and crime on this side of eternity. And make no mistake about it, what the Lord is saying in government is his administration means for justice on this side of eternity. Because in the eternal scape, nobody gets away. That's another thing. People that have a difficulty with the problem of evil in our world, they are limiting their conception of evil and justice being secured to a temporal assessment. There is no one who escapes justice eternally. Even those, because men are fallen, and though government is God's means of administration for justice on this side of eternity, because men are involved, it will be imperfect. But those who escape justice on this side, they will not escape justice eternally. So, very plainly, these people who were pardoned, these were protesters who showed up and glory to God that they were liberated from the persecution from the Biden administration. We can rejoice, but we must engage. We must engage. Oh, man, so much I need to get to. Ooh, time is moving. Promises made, promises kept. I'll start this portion of it. Some people thought President Trump was playing when he said mass deportation is going to happen under him. ICE, within the first 48 hours, has already detained over 460 illegal aliens. Fox News reporter Bill Malugin was embedded with the Boston ICE field office. And when we come back from this break, because the disrespectful music grabbed me, you're going to see what should be as if you need another nail in the proverbial coffin of what the Biden administration was. It's corrupt, unjust, wicked administration. This is going to solidify that on another front. We saw that he pardoned his crime family. And I don't care what anybody says, it's a crime family, because if you're not a crime family, you don't need pardons. Now, Abe, how do you reconcile that with the pro-lifers that you just said you celebrated their pardons? Because there's a difference between those who were persecuted by an unjust law and Mr. Biden pardoning his family members who had never even been charged with anything yet. Oh, yeah, but the laptop, it bore all the markings of Russian disinformation, right?
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. We're already in the third segment. Boy, this show has flown by. Before we went to the break, I was explaining that Fox News reporter Bill Malugin was embedded with the Boston ICE field office agents, that is Immigration and Customs Enforcement, who are actively engaged in its contribution to President Trump's mass deportation. You know, Tom Homan has announced that the priority, the targets will be criminal illegal aliens, those who have committed crimes here in the United States of America already. Yet they're still walking around in our country in many instances in sanctuary cities and areas where they were arrested upon suspicion of the crimes that they'd committed. And ICE requested detainers on them, and the local law enforcement entities refused to comply. Say, ah, well, no, we're just going to let them out. No, we're not going to let you know whether or not we have any illegal aliens here or whether or not they're here. And in Boston, they had quite a few just today that were arrested with heinous crimes, murder, alleged murders, rapes, child molestation, armed robberies, gang members, MS-13 gang members from several countries. You're going to hear this, and this is a clip. I want you to tune in to this clip. This is just a tip of the iceberg of what ICE is facing. And the other thing that Tom Homan has made clear is that these are our targets, criminal illegal aliens, meaning that those who had committed crimes in the United States of America. But if they happen to be, when we find them, if they happen to be with other illegal aliens, whether or not they had committed crimes, we're not going to act like they're not in the country illegally. So we're going to catch them too. And they're describing them as collateral aliens. Listen to and watch clip number 3. Go.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti. ICE says he's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
Trump, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
ICE Boston quickly takes down its next targets, including this illegal alien from Brazil, who has an Interpol red notice for armed robbery. This Salvadoran illegal alien, charged locally with rape and released by a sanctuary jurisdiction.
Señor, ¿cómo se llama?
And this Dominican illegal alien, charged with assault with a deadly weapon and heroin trafficking. Officers also arrested this Guatemalan MS-13 gang member, facing gun charges. ICE says he was released from local custody just the day before. Their detainer request was ignored because of sanctuary policies. And in a sign of shifting priorities with the new Trump administration, this man, who was in the same apartment as the target, was also arrested after ICE determined he's also in the U.S. illegally. This is what ICE calls collateral.
Guys can't make this stuff up. One illegal alien with an Interpol warrant. That means he's wanted for crimes internationally, outside of the United States of America. Pair that with the story I shared with you, was that yesterday? With the arrest in Arizona of two vehicles transporting 30,000 rounds of military-grade ammunition. You know, I don't think that's the lasting image you would want to have, that you have a gang member from Haiti saying, expletive Donald Trump, I love Obama. I love Biden. I love what y'all done for me. That's what you want to go with? That's what you want to go with, playboy? That's what you want to roll with? Guys, this... This is sad. Acting Director of Boston's ICE Field Office, Patricia Hyde, said, quote, unfortunately, a lot of the aliens we picked up today were released by sanctuary policies. But we're here to tell the Commonwealth and the rest of the country that we're going to find them, whether they're released or not, end quote. Now, think about this. And Tom Homan has explained this. He says it's safer for everybody if they're already in jail to keep them in jail till ICE can pick them up from the jails. But no. In the name of regressivism, we're going to unleash them upon society. People thought President Trump was playing about mass deportations. He wasn't playing. There are reports from border states all over the country that there are lots of people that are self-deporting because one of the dictates from the Trump administration is if you are deported as a result of this mass deportation scheme, then you cannot come back to America on any visa. You're not a vacation visa, not an education visa. You cannot come back. So there's some, and that's the way it should be. There's some that say, nah, we won't risk that. So we're going to go back on our own. Then we're going to try to come back legally, which they should have done in the beginning. And it just exposes, guys, I've told you before that The southern border was the Cloward Piven strategy applied to the discipline of immigration. That's what it was. And now they've been busted. I defy anybody to come at me with this bleeding, you know, with this kind of regressive, Dude, you have real criminals who have been criminals elsewhere, but who have committed crimes here. And I often get the response, well, yeah, but there are criminals in America. Yes, there are. So we probably shouldn't add to that number. We have scores of resources, law enforcement, jails, housing, all kind of other things that's going towards people who shouldn't even be in the country in the first place. That doesn't mean, nor is it a justification for ignoring the criminality that's perpetrated by American citizens. No. But should we add to that that quantity? I think it was Michael Savage who says liberalism is a mental disorder. It's wicked, man. It's wicked. Continuing with the theme of promises made, promises kept. I'm telling you, President Trump is on a roll. He also ordered the release of all federal files on the assassination of JFK, the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., the assassination of Robert Kennedy Jr. Listen to and watch clip number 2. Go.
Lastly, sir, we have an executive order ordering the declassification of files relating to the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
That's a big one, huh? A lot of people are waiting for this for years, for decades. And everything will be revealed. Okay? Give that to RFK Jr.
Yes, sir.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. He said he would do it. He said he would do it. And he's doing it. And he's doing it. I announced that Marco Rubio, former senator, now Secretary of State Marco Rubio, he's not wasting any time either. I'm telling you. Marco Rubio, the same moment, shortly after he was confirmed, as the Secretary of State, he issued an order that said this, quote, starting immediately, only the United States of America flag is authorized to be flown or displayed at U.S. facilities, both domestic and abroad, and featured in U.S. government content. The flag of the United States of America united all Americans under the universal principle of justice, liberty, and democracy. These values, which are the bedrock of our great country, are shared by all American citizens, past and present. What that means, folks, is that gone are the days when you will have State Department facilities that have LGBTQXYZ, cricket letter I, to the second power, flags flown over U.S. government property, that the United States' stars and stripes alone will be flown. No burn, loot, murder flags will be flown on U.S. property. No more of this, like the U.S. Embassy in the Bahamas had a rebellion LGBTQ flag flown there. That will not happen, not during this administration. Marco Rubio isn't wasting any time. And again, of course it makes sense. Why would we allow any of the flags to be flown on U.S. property? Why would we do that? I appreciate this announcement. And I mean, these things are happening quickly. U.S. flags and U.S. flags alone to be flown on U.S. property. In addition to that, today, the second member of President Trump's cabinet has been confirmed. Congressman John Ratcliffe, formerly Congressman John Ratcliffe, has now been confirmed as the director of the CIA under the Trump administration. And so there will be more hearings and confirmations. I mentioned already that the Senate has already expressed, the GOP caucus in the Senate has already expressed that they are requiring an Obama-level pace, an Obama pace of cabinet confirmations. President Trump in 2017, it took up until March to have his cabinet confirmed in total. Mr. Obama had his cabinet confirmed in 12 days post-inauguration. And so the GOP caucus in the Senate is pressing for a similar pace to allow President Trump to have the full caucus confirmed. There's so much going on. And I'll tell you guys, y'all know me, those who've been listening for a while, I'm going to call balls and strikes, you know. So if, when President Trump does something that I disagree with, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to hold back. You know, I was hopeful and prayerful that President Trump would pardon the pro-life protesters. But given how there was some changes in his stance during the campaign concerning the pro-life issue and the changes, frankly, in the GOP platform on that front, I wasn't sure it would happen. But it did. If he hadn't pardoned them, I would have talked about it. I didn't say too much about it at front because I knew behind the scenes there were people that were working toward it. So I said, I'm going to wait and see. And waiting and seeing ended up proving prudent because he did it today. Guys, we are just, 3 days post-inauguration? I am truly excited to see what happens. Additionally, on the government front. But I am more excited to see what happens with the people of God on the ground. I am more excited and even the more prayerful that the Lord would grace our nation with a move of gospel proclamation and repentance in our nation, because it is our most enduring need. That we have endured as a nation generations of regression to where the opposite of what I talked about yesterday, having the heart posture of humility and reverence before God and his word, that has been encroached upon at a fever pitch over generations. We didn't get to where we were overnight. It happened step by step, piece by piece, little by little. But now that we've had that exposure, if you will, to just how wicked the wickedness can look when you have, you know, presidents. Yeah, I'll sell out my office. Have sons that are on crack, given to prostitution, all kinds of crimes. You know, you got Diddy in jail and an R. Kelly in jail. Hunter Biden was transporting prostitutes over state lines for all kind of illicit activity. But, you know, hey, he's Mr. Biden's son. And seeing all of these things, you know, taxpayer dollars for transgender surgeries for prisoners and all of this craziness, you know, drag queen story hours, we saw a glimpse of what it could look like. And I'll just tell you plainly, it can get worse than that. So I'm grateful for what's happened at the government level. But may we not become lax in understanding that the people of God are called to be salt and light on the ground. Government has its function, but it is secondary to what we're supposed to be as the hands and feet of Jesus in our society.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.